I know what I should do. Why can't anyone tell me how?
Sometimes I worry about the doubts that creep up on me late at night.
Is it okay to disagree with my pastor?
I'm not sure the Bible actually says that.
Sometimes I think that God is so far away from the world I live in.
Sometimes I wonder about my faith.
Why are there so many interpretations of the Bible?
Why does the Bible seem so confusing?
Interface. Not the same questions, not the same answers.
Hello, I'm Brad Johnson, and welcome to Interface, a weekly examination of Christian perspectives on theology, philosophy, ethics, and culture with Adam Ayers, the pastor of Disciples Church in Costa Mesa, California, and the founder of the Stoa Foundation. Each week we come to you with Christian perspectives, and usually as a dialogue format. This week, however, we're going to be joining the founder of the Stoa Foundation and the pastor of Disciples Church, Adam Ayers, at his church in Costa Mesa, with the second part of a message that he delivered on relationships. And relationships being very relevant to this program because they do involve questions of ethics and philosophy and our culture. So with that, let's join Adam, already in progress.
First Samuel chapter 25, page 388, King James, Cambridge, Wide Margin Edition. And Samuel died, verse 1. And all the Israelites were gathered together and lamented him and buried him in his house at Ramah. And David arose and went down to the wilderness of Paran. And there was a man in Maon whose possessions were in Carmel. And the man was very great, and he had 3,000 sheep, all right, and 1,000 goats, and he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. Now, the name of the man was Nabal, which means dum-dum, basically, and the name of his wife, Abigail, and she was a woman of good understanding and of a beautiful countenance, but the man was churlish and evil in his doings, and he was of the house of Caleb. David heard in the wilderness that Nabal did shear his sheep, and David sent out 10 young men, and David said unto the young men, get you up to Carmel, and go to Nabal, and greet him in my name. And thus shall you say to him that liveth in prosperity, peace be both to thee, and peace to thine house, and peace unto all that thou hast. And now I have heard that thou hast shearers. Now thy shepherds which were with us were not hurt. We hurt them not, neither was there aught missing unto them all the while they were in Carmel. It says, ask thy young men, and they will show thee. Wherefore let thy young men find favor in thy eyes, for we come in a good day. Give, I pray thee, whatsoever cometh to thy hand unto thy servants and to thy son David. And David's young men came. They spoke to Nabal according to all the words in the name of David and ceased. And Nabal answered, now remember, what's his name? Dum-dum. And Dum-dum answered David's servants and said, who's David? Who's the son of Jesse? There be many servants nowadays that break away every man from his master. Shall I then take my bread and my water and my flesh that I've killed for my shearers and give it unto the men whom I know not whence they be? So David's young men turned their way and went again and came and told him all those things. And David said unto his men, gird ye every man on his sword. And they girded on every man his sword. And David also girded on his sword. And there went up after David about 400 men, and 200 abode by the stuff. But one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, saying, behold, David sent messengers out of the wilderness to salute our master, and he railed on them. But the men were very good unto us, and we were not hurt, neither missed we anything, as long as we were conversant with them when we were in the fields. They were a wall unto us both by day and night, and all the while we were with them keeping the sheep. Now therefore know and consider what thou wilt do, for evil is determined against our master, against all his household, for he is such a son of Belial that a man can't speak to him. Then Abigail made haste and took 200 loaves and 2 bottles of wine and 5 sheep already dressed, chintz. No, wrong kind of dress. And 5 measures of parched corn and 100 clusters of raisins and 200 cakes of figs and laid them on asses. And she said unto her servants, go on before you. Behold, I come after you. But she told not her husband Nabal. As it was so, as she rode on the ass, she came down by the covert of the hill. And behold, David and his men came down against her, and she met them. Now David had said, surely in vain have I kept all this fellow hath in the wilderness, so that nothing was missed of all that pertained unto him, and he hath requited me evil for good. So and more also do God unto the enemies of David, if I leave of all that pertaineth him by the morning light any that pisseth against a wall. That's an idiom for male children, or males generally. And when Abigail saw David, she hasted and lighted off the ass and fell down before David on her face and bowed herself to the ground. And fell at his feet and said, upon me, my lord, upon me let this iniquity be, and let thine handmaid, I pray thee, speak in thine audience and hear the words of thine handmaid. Let not, my lord, I pray thee, regard this man of Belial, even Nabal, for as his name, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. But I, thine handmaid, saw not the young man of my lord whom thou didst send. Now therefore, my lord, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, seeing the Lord hath withholden thee from coming to shed blood and from avenging thyself with thine own hand, now let thy enemies and they that seek evil to my lord be as Nabal. And now this blessing which thine handmaid hath brought unto my lord, let it even be given unto the young men that follow my lord. I pray thee, forgive the trespass of thine handmaid, for the Lord will certainly make my lord a sure house, because my lord fighteth the battles of the Lord, and evil hath not been found in thee all thy days. Yet a man is risen to pursue thee and to seek thy soul, but the soul of my lord shall be bound into the bundle of life with the Lord thy God. And the souls of thine enemies, them shall he sling out as out of the middle of a sling. And it shall come to pass when the Lord shall have done to my lord according to all the good that he hath spoken concerning thee, and shall have appointed thee ruler over Israel, that this shall be no grief unto thee, nor offense of heart unto my lord, either that thou hast shed blood causeless, or that my lord hath avenged himself. But when the Lord shall have dealt well with my lord, then remember thine handmaid. And David said to Abigail, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which sent thee this day to me, and blessed be thy advice, and blessed be thou, which has kept me this day from coming to shed blood and from avenging myself with mine own hand. For in very deed, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, which hath kept me from hurting thee, except thou hast hasted and come to meet me, surely there had not been left unto Nabal by the morning light any that pisseth against a wall. So David received of her hand that which she had brought him, and said unto her, go up in peace to thine house. See, I have hearkened to thy voice and have accepted thy person. And Abigail came to Nabal, and behold, he held a feast in his house, like the feast of a king. And Nabal's heart was merry within him, for he was very drunken. Wherefore she told him nothing, less or more, until the morning light. But when it came to pass in the morning, when the wine was gone out of Nabal, and his wife told him these things, that his heart died within him, and he became as a stone. And it came to pass about 10 days after that the Lord smote Nabal, and he died. Interesting, huh? Nabal's first response is, you know, you don't get rich by being generous. That's his thinking. You don't get rich by being generous? Ah! I'm wealthy. I've been selfish all my life. I've not given anything away. This will work for me now. Not realizing that it's a loaded gun to his head. He sends word back to David. David's first response is what? Kill him. Kill him. Kill him. Kill him. Kill him. Not him. Not just him. Everybody. Kill them all. Kill. Kill. Now, Abigail is incredible. She does something unnatural. Is she afraid? Yes, it's obvious. She's worried. She's, you know, she's going out to face somebody who kills big people with rocks. She gets there, gets some goodies. She goes and she does the unnatural thing. The natural thing is when a psycho mafia guy from the wilderness is coming to kill everybody, you get as much of your stuff as you can, you get on the fastest donkey, and you leave. And you let Nabal take, especially, she had to live with this guy. She says, this guy is dumb. He's a jerk. Everybody knows he's a jerk. I live with him. He's a jerk. Why not let the guy get it finally? Right? Why not let the guy get it? You think, that's your quickest reaction? Sure. You know, the instinctive reaction for Abigail should be, hi. There he is. You know, you're going to be king. And Nabal is a real idiot. And you're cute. You take a left at the wine press, you'll find, yeah, see? You know, could I talk you down to just killing one guy? Instead, she goes out there and she, in her humility, diffuses the whole thing and saves her husband, who's a jerk. She prevents him from getting killed. She could have really capitalized on this situation. She walks against her fear. She walks against convention. She walks in wisdom. And she says, I will do the appropriate thing, and I will change the situation. And David, you know, he definitely gets his nose pushed back. He's like, oh, that's right. It's not really very godly to go slaughtering people in the wilderness as they're busy shearing their sheep. Yes. And she says, listen, don't you understand you're going to regret this later on? When you get to be king, you'll be king, you'll be king. It's okay. What's a little spite, what's a little, you know, insult going to do to you then? Except you're going to have remorse that you killed a whole bunch of people for no reason, except that they offended you. You don't want this on your heart. And she talks right into the heart of who David is. And he's like, yeah, I'm sorry. It's kind of dumb. And then God takes care of Nabal. It ends up that David does end up marrying Abigail, but not by their devices, by the hand of the Lord. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 14. Verse 1 of chapter 14. Very appropriate at this point. Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. He that walketh in his uprightness feareth the Lord, but he that is perverse in his ways despiseth him. In the mouth of the foolish is a rod of pride, but the lips of the wise shall preserve them. Drop down to verse 12. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Look over at chapter 15, verse 1. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. We've been talking about relating and relationships for the last number of weeks. What I want us to see from this little vignette is that many of us, because of things we have experienced, maybe you've been burnt in relationships. Maybe you grew up in a household where vicious words were the rule. Maybe you've been in a situation where, man, you got to fight for yourself. You got to defend, you know? Maybe it's tete-a-tete. Maybe it's fight or flight. Instinctive reactions. Fight or flight, one of the two. Run or overpower. Kill or be killed, dog eat dog. Survival instincts that don't come from your brain, they come from your backbone. Your first instinct is, they said something to me, vengeance and creative. Vengeance is a dish served best cold. That's what comes out naturally from your backbone. You don't even think about it. Someone, boom, boom, immediately responding. Or little tension.
Encapsulate. Hide.
I'm out of here before they can out of here on me. Oh, my heart's going away. Phew! Bye. You know, you just don't make yourself open, okay? You make yourself open, they'll get you. There is a way which seems right unto a man, and the end thereof is the way of death. It's death. Can't live in our relationships like that. God did the unnatural thing. You look at Gethsemane, what is Jesus doing? He's in agony. Because the natural thing that feels right, man, it feels right for a God is to say, you mess with me, I fry you. All of you. You know, as Bill Cosby said so very clearly, I made you, I can kill you and make another one just like you. You know? It's like, we'll keep erasing it until we get it right, okay? Till they don't disobey me. And Christ is in the garden going, if there is any other way, God, I don't want to do this. This feels horrible. Because the natural thing would be, fry them all, kill them all. You insult me, boom, you're dead. I mean, that happens a lot. You touch the ark, you know, crispy critters. It's like, hello, that's it. It's like formerly a person, now a greasy ash mark on the ground, you know? That's it. And God did that many times, and he says, I will move toward you because I do not live from the backbone, I live from the heart. I do not make decisions on reflex, I make decisions based on love. We as Christians are called to practice that kind of love. Not to encapsulate ourselves because it's our habit, not to walk in and be together all alone, not to overpower your kids, overpower your friends, or run and hide, to sit and keep a safe distance, to act in vengeance whenever you get touched the wrong way, or when you get touched the wrong way, to flee, but to say, I know that everything in me says it's natural either to run or to fight, but I believe in a resurrection and I need do neither, but simply to extend myself in love. And if I get crucified in this, then God will raise me from the dead. Please turn to 1 John chapter 4, starting at verse 4. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world. Therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us. Because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us. And sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in the world. There's no fear in love. But perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. Brothers and sisters, if we are to live this way, we will live with many Gethsemanes, where we have the crisis of saying, I will do that which is instinctive and natural, feeling, yet brings death. Or I will act in love and live in faith. Let's pray. Father, teach us how to walk as you walk. Show us how to live this thing out. God, give us strength. Work your resurrection in us, we pray. Thank you for having compassion on us. Give us the same presence of mind that you have. In the name of Christ, amen.
We've been listening to Adam Ayers speaking on relationships at Disciples Church in Costa Mesa. We'd like to thank Chris Holowaty, our engineer. We'd like to thank Media City Sound for helping to make Interface possible, and we'd like to thank you for listening.